Thank God I have a hope. Thank God I have more than this old world out here. Take your Bible this morning and let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'll try to be brief. You know how that goes. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter 5. And I hope you do bring your Bible. Look at your Bible. Mark chapter 5. This is a familiar story here. You ought to know this pretty good. Mark chapter 5. And there's this woman there. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 5, verse 24. Everybody hear me pretty good? Everything coming good? Yeah. Good. In Mark 5, 24, it says this, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him," crowd. In verse 25, it says this, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had." The Bible said that she had suffered many things of many physicians. She had been to all the doctors, and she spent all that she had. She had nothing left, and the Bible said it was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in behind the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may but touch his clothes, if I can just touch his clothes," she said, "I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she fell in her body that she had been healed of that plague. Our Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. Pray your blessing upon the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God. Father, you said you have manifested your Word in the last days through preaching. And I pray, God, you'd be with me this morning. Take these lips of clay, Lord, and do something, Lord, that I cannot do. And move your people and touch your people and stir your people up, God. And do what only you can do, God. Pray you'd speak to us now, God. Give us something from Thee, Lord. May we leave this morning knowing, God, that we've heard from you. Not from a man, but we've heard from the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that's a great story in the Bible, and it's a picture there, obviously, of a poor, sick sinner coming to Jesus Christ for healing, and I preached about that before. And 37 times in the Gospels, the Bible tells us that Jesus touches someone, and even there's the touch there. Over there in the leper in Matthew chapter 8, it says this, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was healed." In Matthew chapter 8, the Bible says about that woman with a fever. And it said, "And Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her." In Matthew chapter 14, verse 36, over and over and over, it said this. They said if they could only touch the hem of his garment, as many as touched were made perfectly whole. And that precious lady that day in Mark chapter 5, she had that issue of blood, and she had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and grew rather the worse, was none better. And she said, "Oh, if I could just get a touch of that garment, I shall be whole." And I want to give you a few things about it. And I want to kind of relay it this morning to where our country's at right now. I tell you, brother, our country is sick. Our country is sick. Our country is in desperate need of a touch of God in it like never before. We're probably in the worst shape our country's been in the 200 years that it's been. A congressman said a while back, a Republican congressman a few days ago, he said it looks like the American experience is failing. Everywhere we look, 80% of the people in the United States are saying America's totally out of control. We've lost our path. We've lost our way. We lost everything we stood for at one time. And brother, we need a touch from Jesus Christ. Like that precious lady, the Bible says she suffered many things of many physicians, and she spent all. We've suffered many things in many positions. We've tried Dr. Republicans. We've tried Dr. Trump. We've tried Dr. Democrat. We've tried Dr. Obama. We've tried Dr. Congressman. We've tried all the doctors, and we have suffered many things of many positions. Brother, we need a change in our country. We need a touch from God. Just like that lady, brother, we have spent all that we have. Fact of the matter is, we spent what we don't have. This country right now, believe it or not, the United States of America is $23 trillion in debt. We owe China, we owe Russia, we owe Germany, we owe Japan, we owe Berlin, we owe Switzerland, we owe everybody we can get a handout from. We're the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world. We're $23 trillion in debt that we owe other countries. We spent all that we had. We've had many physicians. And yet, we have gotten none better, but we just keep getting worse. We need a touch from God. You know how much $1 trillion is? If you had $1,000 bills, if you had $1 million in $1,000 bills, it would be about 4 inches high, that thick. If you had $1,000 bills and laid one on top of the other, and you had $1 million worth of $1,000 bills, it'd be 4 inches high. If you had $1 billion in $1,000 bills, it'd be 358 feet high. $1 billion, $1,000 bills stacked on one top of the other would be 358 feet high. But if you had $1 trillion in $1,000 bills, $1 trillion would go 67.8 miles high. $1,000 bills. $23 trillion in $1,000 bills would go 1,569 miles high. Brother, that's how far we're in debt. We have spent and spent and spent. We've had physicians after physicians. We've had them all claiming they've got the truth and the hope and they can solve it. And my friend, listen to us. We're growing worse and worse and worse. I want to give you a few things I see here in this story of this lady. First of all, there's a hopeless condition. The Bible said about this lady, she had an issue of blood 12 years. And she had suffered many things of many physicians. She had spent all that she had. She had nothing left. There was nothing else she could give. And yet she grew worse and worse and worse. She was in a helpless condition. Like our nation's in right now. Our world is in a helpless condition. Our streets right now are filled with protests and they burning buildings and burning things. And there's hate and there's violence, my friend. It's our country in the United States has infiltrated the world. You see the violence coming from this nation, polluting and corrupting the whole world. You say, what's happened? We're in a hopeless condition. You know what they're wanting to do? They're wanting now to defund the police. They're wanting to abolish the police. Brother, let me tell you. Tell me how that works out. When that happens, I'm going to get me a spaceship and go to the moon. I'm not hanging around for that, brother. Let me tell you, this world is in a hopeless condition. They know not what to do. Just like that lady, she has suffered many things of many physicians. And grew the rather the worse. Not only that, she was in a hopeless condition. There's something else about this lady. I see the hopeless condition. But I see something else. The Bible said, and she suffered many things of many physicians. And that she had spent all that she had. And was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And the Bible says this in verse 27. And when she heard of Jesus. I want to say there was a hopeless condition, but there was a helpful call. You know what that lady, when she had heard of Jesus, that lady was listening and she was looking for help. She was looking for something better than what she had. You know what's wrong in our nation, friend? We're not listening to God anymore. We're not listening to Jesus anymore. We have shut our ears up and our hearts up to the things of God. Jesus said in Matthew 11, he that hath ears, let him hear. Revelation said, let the spirit of churches hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We're not listening to God. That precious lady, she had a hopeless condition, but she had a helpful call. It said when she had heard of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15 one time. And it's this country. Here's where our country's at. Matthew 13, 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes clothes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and they should be converted, and I should heal them. Brother, this nation has closed their ears and their hearts to God. There was a helpful call. She heard of Jesus. People ask me all the time. Nearly every day when I'm out passing out tracts, talking to somebody about the Lord, they ask me this: "Preacher, what is happening to our world? What is happening to our country? Where are we going?" And I always say, Psalm 9:17 is what's happening in our country. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Our nation, my friend, has been turned into hell because we have turned our back on the God of this Bible. Ronald Reagan said years ago, 1982, he said, "It's a national day of prayer, 1982. I said before that the most sublime picture in American history is George Washington on his knees in the snow at Valley Forge. The image personifies a people." Listen to this. "The image personifies a people who know that it's not enough to depend on our own courage and goodness. We must also seek help from God." We're not listening to God anymore. We're not looking for God. There was a helpful call. She had heard of Jesus. She was listening for Jesus. Ronald Reagan said this. He said, "You know, if we look back through history to all those great civilizations, those great nations that rose up to even world dominance and deteriorated, declined and fell, we find they all had one thing in common. One of the significant forerunners of their fall was their turning away from God." And my friend, this nation has been turned into hell because it has forgotten the God of that Bible. Ronald Reagan said this in 1984. "Without God, there is no virtue, because there is no prompting of the conscience. Without God, we're mired in the material. That flat world that tells us only what the senses perceive. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. Without God, democracy cannot endure." And Ronald Reagan said this, one of the greatest statements ever said: "If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." And brother, we have forgotten we're one nation under God, and our nation is going under. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations they forget God." God is no longer in our course. It's no longer in our conversations. 1968, some of you remember, our country was in turmoil. Our country was sick. It was in trouble. And it's unbelievable the comparison and how much it compares to what's going on today in 1968. In 1968, the Vietnam War was ravaging and protests. They had racial riots. They had burnings. In 1968, the Hong Kong flu came through, killed 100,000 people. The H3N2 flu that came through, 100, just like today the flu came through. Just like today, the violence was in our streets. They were burning the streets. Just like today, our country was sick and it was hurt and it needed a touch from God. Richard Nixon, in 1968, Miami Beach at the Republican National Convention, said this. It's what Nixon said in 1968. "Today I leave you. I go to assume a greater task than devolved on George Washington." And he said this: "The great God which helped him must help me. Without that great God, I will surely fail." He knew he needed help. He went on to say in his speech, "The next president of the United States will face challenges which in some ways will be greater than those of Washington or Lincoln. Because for the first time in our nation's history, an American president would face not only the problem of restoring peace abroad, but of restoring peace at home." And the last words of that speech Richard Nixon said this, without God's help, we will surely fail. He knew the call. Let me fast forward you to 2016. Let me fast forward you to Donald Trump, the Republican National Convention. Here's what he said. This is what Trump said. Don't believe me. Go look it up. Here's what he said. I alone can fix it. I am the God of law and order. Listen to me. Donald Trump cannot fix it. Man can't fix it. Joe Biden can't fix it. The Republicans can't fix it. They can't fix it. It's going to take a helpful call from God. Brother, we're in trouble. Man can't fix it. There's something there. I see the hopeless condition. I see the helpful call. We need to get back to God. If we don't, and I don't think we will, I think we're way too far gone. I think we're sitting Matthew 24, the beginning of sorrows. There was a hopeless condition that lady was in. There was a helpful call. And the Bible said in Mark chapter 5, 27, when she heard of Jesus, the Bible said this, that she came in the press behind. The hindering constraint. The press was hindering her. The press, it comes from the word pressure. And it means to squeeze, it means to force, it means a crowd, it means an urge, it means distress and fluids. And that press was keeping her from coming to Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that she came in the press behind. Brother, she wasn't letting the press keeping her from Jesus Christ. The press, it'll hinder you. It'll keep you from the Lord. It'll keep you from the Word of God. Mark chapter 2 verse 3 tells about that man that was sick, and they were trying to get him to Jesus. And the Bible said, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. And the Bible says this, and when they could not come nigh to him for the press. They said they couldn't come nigh to Jesus Christ for the press. There was Zacchaeus who sought to see Jesus. And the Bible said in Luke 19, he had to climb on a tree, and it said he sought to Jesus who he was and could not see him for the press. You know what the press will do? It'll keep you away from God. You know what the press is in our day? It's a news media. It's what they call the press. It comes from print and press. Definition of the press, the art of business and printing and public. I tell you, one of the first worst things that's ever happened to this country, and I've said it 100 times, and I'll say it 100 times when God calls me home, is this cable news, CNN, Fox News, all that stuff. All it does is hinder and constrain the child of God and get them mad and sad about nothing. Listen, there's something to get mad about. Get mad about people going to hell. All that stuff is turn it off. It's like a hindering constraint. That press will keep her from Jesus Christ. Man, I know Christians, all they do is watch that stuff. Bless God, I'm not watching that stuff. I was talking to my brothers about a year ago, 6 months ago, even way before this, we met at Waffle House for breakfast. And both my brothers were talking about it. And they both were saying, man, I don't watch that cable news. I don't watch Fox or CNN. I don't watch that stuff. My brother Ronnie, he got a big dealership up there, and both of them were saying, he said, man, it's like mental pornography, that stuff. He said, it's just filth. It just makes you mad and sad. He said, it just clogs up and corrupts your mind, most of that stuff. You know what it is? It's a hindering constraint to Jesus Christ. I love the way the Bible words that. The Bible said this about that. It said when she had heard of Jesus, the Bible says this, she came in the press behind. The Bible didn't say she come in behind the press. See, if you come behind something, then you're following. She wasn't following the press. The Bible said she put the press behind her, brother. Just like Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, brother. She wasn't following the press. Let me tell you, it'll hinder your walk with the Lord. It's a hindering constraint. It's got this country so messed up and so mad at each other, they can't even sit at a table anymore. No wonder they can't hear God. No wonder they can't hear from God. It's a hindering constraint. I love what Brother Lester Roloff said. Brother Prescott was out here last week. I love that old boy. He goes around the country preaching on the streets, giving out tracts. He's been doing it for 30 years. And he asked me about, he said, what do you think about that Supreme Court decision about the church? And I said, you know, Brother Prescott, I could care less. I said, I don't pay much attention to that junk. I said, you know what? I said, I like what Brother Roloff said years ago, Lester Roloff, the great evangelist. Before he went home to be with the Lord in 1983, Brother Roloff said, if you want to save America, get America saved. But I told Brother Prescott, I said, I'm just trying to get some people saved and get them out of hell. If that's the best thing I can do is get them out of hell. That stuff will hinder you. It'll constrain you. There was a hindering constraint. There was the press. She had to put him behind her. There was a hopeless condition. There was a helpful call. She heard of Jesus. I tell you something else I seen there. There was a holy confidence that lady had. When I say holy, I'm talking H-O-L-Y. I'm talking about W-H-O-L-Y. I'm talking about a pure. I'm talking about a perfect. I'm talking about a God confidence. That lady had a holy confidence in Jesus Christ. She knew He was the only help she could get. I love what it said. She said, if I can just touch His clothes. She said, if I can just touch His clothes, not even healed. She said, if I can just touch His clothes. She said, I might get help. She said, if I can touch His clothes, I might could get better. That's not what she said, is it? She said, if I can but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. She had a holy confidence in Jesus Christ. She had spent all she had. She had suffered things of many physicians. But she said, boy, oh, if I can but touch His clothes, I shall be made whole. Brother, there was a holy confidence. There's only one holy one that I can put confidence in, and that's the Lord God. 1 Samuel chapter 2:2. There is none holy like the Lord. I got a holy Bible up here. I can rest my soul. I can trust my soul on this holy Bible. I got a holy confidence in the Word of God. This lady knew. She knew Jesus Christ was the only hope she had. She had spent all she had. She had tried every doctor out there. And she just kept getting worse. But she said, if I can touch His garment, just His garment, I shall be whole. She had a holy confidence. I see the protesters out there. And they've been chanting and holding signs. No justice. No peace. No justice. No peace. I've been wearing my button. It says no Jesus, N-O. No peace, N-O. It says no Jesus, K-N-O-W. No peace, K-N-O-W. Listen, if you want peace, you want justice, I'm going to tell you where it's got to start. It's got to start in a holy confidence in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 says this, that in times past you were without Christ. You were without Christ. And it goes on to say, having no hope without God in the world, without Jesus Christ, there's no hope. She had a holy confidence. My Bible says, Psalm 118 verse 8, the middle verse in the Bible, by the way, the middle verse in the Bible is Psalm 118, 8. For it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. The next verse says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That's the governor. Brother, I'm going to tell you, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, Christ! Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground, all of it is sinking sand. I want to say that lady had a hopeless condition like we're at today. She heard a helpful call. She heard the word of Jesus. She heard that call. There was a hindering constraint. There was that prayer she had to put behind her to get to Jesus Christ that was keeping her from the Lord. And there was a holy confidence. She said, oh, if I could just touch His garments. She said, I'll be made whole. Woo! That's some good stuff, man. Woo! I'm going to tell you, brother, I got confidence in the Lord. I don't have any confidence in this government. No, and I don't have any confidence in the Democrats. I got no confidence in Joe Biden. I got no confidence in Donald Trump. But I got confidence in that book. And brother, I'm going to stay by this book till God takes me out of this world. This old book saved me 42 years ago. And brother, I can tell you on Christ the solid rock I stand. Whew! Bless God, she had a holy confidence. She had a holy confidence. Not only that, she had a hindering constraint. Something will always keep her from Jesus Christ. Paul said one time to the Galatians, who doth hinder you from obeying the truth? Who doth hinder you from obeying the truth? There was a hindering constraint. But one other thing I want to say, this lady found the healing cure. The Bible says this in Mark 5:28. She said, if I could but touch His clothes, if I could touch His clothes, I shall be whole. And the Bible said in verse number 21, and straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I mean, immediately, straightway, she didn't have to go to the church. There were no detours, there were no delays, there were no debates, there were no left turn, no right turn, brother. God did it. There was a healing cure. Jesus Christ is a healing cure. It's what our country needs today as never before. Mark chapter 6, verse 56. The Bible said, whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that he might just... they could just touch the border of his garments. They brought him out from cities everywhere. And the Bible said this, and as many as touched him were made whole. That song the lady sung, he touched me. He touched me and made me whole. My friend, he's the healing cure. Matthew 14, verse number 36 says this, and they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, the crowd. And as many that touched were made perfectly whole. You know what our country needs? Brother, it needs a touch of Jesus Christ. It needs a healing cure. It needs to get back to God. We need Richard Nixon to come back and say, oh God, without you I can't do it. We need our leaders, our Democrats and our Republicans and churches get a hold of God again. We got so far away from God. 77 times in the New Testament. 77 times in the New Testament. I read where Jesus Christ healed somebody. 7 in your Bible is the number of completion. 11 in your Bible is the number of lastest urgency of the last hour. That's the end of the rope. 77 times people are at the end of their rope and Jesus Christ healed them completely. Totally. I want to say He's a healing cure. Isaiah 53:5 says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And He says that with His stripes we were healed. over in 1 Peter chapter 2. He quotes it again. In 1 Peter 2:24, he said, "Who on his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we be to dead to sin should live in righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." I want to tell you, my friend, the only healing cure in this world is Jesus Christ. There is none other. There is none other. I quoted 2 Chronicles chapter 7 a while back. My, what a verse for today. What a verse for today. Oh, what a verse. 2 Chronicles 7:13 says, "If I shut up heaven, there be no rain." God does it. God's doing it. "Or if I command the locusts to devour the land. Or if I send pestilence," that's a plague, that's a virus, that's a coronavirus. "If I send pestilence among my people," you know what God's trying to do? He's trying to get them right. He's trying to get their attention. Verse 14 says this, the next verse. "If I'll do that," and He does it, read the Old Testament. But He said, if my people which are called by my name," that's Christians, "shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive them." And He said, "I will heal their land." This country, this land needs healing, and the only touch that can heal and cure is Jesus Christ. America's no longer listening to the Word of God. They're no longer listening and looking to the God of the Word anymore. Matthew 13, what the Lord told them. He said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, have no feelings. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted." And He said, I should heal him. America won't listen. They won't open their hearts. They're turning God off. And brother, our country is in trouble. There was a hopeless condition. There was a helpful call. She heard of Jesus. There was a hindering constraint, and she came from the press behind. There was a holy confidence. "If I can but touch the border of His garments, I shall be whole." And there was a healing cure. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body the plague been removed. I want to say this morning, friend, our country's in trouble. Our world's in trouble. And I believe the Lord's coming back as never before. I believe we're sitting on Matthew 24, the beginning of sorrows. And I'm telling you, friend, this nation, this country, this church, every one of us need a touch of God. I've been listening to a lot of old preachers on my radio, in my car lately, that I recorded back in Bible school 40 years ago, man. And I've been listening to a lot of those preachers, man. Most of them gone home to be with the Lord. And I'm telling you, brother, they're preachers. Nothing like them out there today. And I'm thinking, oh, wish to God we could get back to those old men of God, brother. We got puppets in the pulpit. We don't have any man. We need some man of God. Let them get hold of Jesus Christ. He's a healing cure. I'll close with this illustration for you real quick. One of the most deadliest diseases the world's ever heard was yellow fever. Yellow fever was a blood-borne disease, and it was mankind one of the deadliest diseases. It was spread by the bite of mosquito, and it would go into blood, and it would start hemorrhaging in your body. And every opening in your body, blood would start coming out and flowing out till it killed you. Between 1693 and 1901, 95 epidemics, separate epidemics of yellow fever hit the United States. 95 epidemics hit the United States. That's just the United States. in Philadelphia, it hit 11 times. One outbreak in 1793 killed 10% of the population. They had to lay people in the streets. Couldn't bury them. It was killing so many people. He went to Boston and New York 7 times. He went to Charleston, Mobile, Baltimore, New Orleans. The reason we got New Orleans so cheap from Napoleon, because yellow fever was rampant and Napoleon didn't want anything to do with it. So he gave it to us. The last infection of yellow fever in the United States was in 1906 in New Orleans. There was no cure for yellow fever. There was no treatment for yellow fever. You caught it, you basically died. It was a death warrant. When you got it, there was nothing they could do for you but let you die. 1920, a 27-year-old West African young man named Asibi, a West African man named Asibi, 27 years old, contacted yellow fever, but it didn't bother him, and he survived, and he was the first person known that had immunity to yellow fever. In 1927, the Rockefeller Foundation took the blood of this West African man and was able to develop a vaccine for yellow fever. And millions and millions and millions of lives have been saved because of the blood of that one West African man. Every vaccine that's ever been developed, millions and millions and millions, came from the blood of that one 27-year-old West African man whose blood had an immune to yellow fever. Somebody said about that man, never in history has so many people owed their lives to one single man as this one West African man named Asibi. And I want to say to you this morning, never in history has the world owed so much to the blood of Jesus Christ. My friend, He is the healing cure. He is the only thing that can heal this sick land. And my friend, like that lady, she had a hopeless condition. Helpful call, a hindering constraint, a holy confidence. But she had a healing cure. I thank God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, no other ground. All other ground is sinking sand. Our Father, oh Lord, Lord, I love You this morning, Lord. I love You with all my heart, God, Lord. Oh, God, I love to brag about You, Lord. Oh, Lord, I love to lift You up and tell people about You, God. Oh, I wish this nation, I wish God's people, I wish this country, oh, God, it would be like that lady that day, God. She'll hear that call. I wish our leaders would get together and put their politics in the garbage can and get hold of You, God. Get on their knees, Donald Trump and Schumer and Pelosi, all those up there, get on their knees in our face and thank God. Help us. Help us, God. We can't fix it. I wish God's people and my people, which are called by name, to humble themselves and turn their wicked ways and seek My face and pray, and I'll heal the land. Oh, God, we need You, Lord. Just like that lady, we're sick. Our nation's sick. It suffered many things of many physicians. We're broke. We spent all we got. We don't have nothing left, God. We don't have any money. We don't have any morals. We don't have nothing left. Oh, God, intervene. Pray Your blessing upon Pearl Lake Baptist Church, God. Thank You for keeping us safe. Pray for these churches that have been open. Pray for these folks, Lord, I know, that are sick and hot.